Hello, this is Chef John from foodwishes.com with Dublin Coddle. That's right, I'm going to show you how to make my new favorite Irish stew. Actually, let me correct that. I think this is just my new favorite stew. And while I am posting this now, because St. Patrick's Day is coming up soon, this would be amazing any time of the year, especially if you're a fan of sausage and potatoes. And the secret here is we're going to cook this low and very, very slow. But I promise it'll be worth the wait. And to get started, the first thing we'll need are some Irish-style pork sausage, which unfortunately might be a little tough to find. But any fresh pork sausage will work. But no matter what you use, what we'll do is take a knife, and we will prick through the skin on both sides like this, which is going to help let the fat out and the flavor in, and also maybe prevent it from rupturing and breaking open. And if you're keeping score at home, I'm using some nice freshly made bratwurst, which were absolutely perfect. But like I said, any pork sausage will work as long as it hasn't been cured. And that's it. Once our links have been pricked, we can go ahead and pop those in the fridge until we need them. And then we'll head to the stove, where we're going to toss about a half pound of bacon into our most experienced Dutch oven. And we'll set our heat to medium. And we will cook this bacon until it's pretty much fully rendered and beautifully browned. And by the way, the original coddles were a white stew, meaning that none of the meat was browned first. And basically everything was just tossed in water and simmered slowly for many, many hours. But we're going to go ahead and sacrifice some authenticity for a little extra flavor, and I think better texture on the bacon. And then once our bacon is cooked, we'll go ahead and toss in a knob of butter, plus two roughly chopped onions. Oh yeah, this dish needs a lot of onions. And we'll also toss in a nice big pinch of salt. And we will cook all that stirring for about 5 or 6 minutes, or until those onions soften up and start to turn translucent. Oh, and I should have mentioned, if you want to remove some of that bacon fat before you add the butter and onions, you could do that. But our sausage are going to give off a lot of fat also, so we're going to need to skim the top later anyway. So I guess it really doesn't matter. But anyway, once we're happy with how our onions look, we'll go ahead and toss in a whole bunch of finely minced garlic, along with a generous amount of freshly sliced green onions, or as we call them in all Irish and or spring recipes, spring onions. And we'll go ahead and stir those in and cook them for about 2 minutes, at which point we're going to pour in one of the most important ingredients, about a cup of Irish beer. And I'm going to use a very popular stout that you could probably guess the name of very easily. Okay, I'll give you a hint. They also publish a book of world's records. And what we'll do is stir that in, and then we'll raise our heat to high so we can reduce that liquid down a little bit. And while that's happening, we can add a few more ingredients, including some freshly picked thyme leaves, as well as a whole bunch of freshly chopped Italian parsley. And then we'll season this up with some freshly ground black pepper, our last addition of salt, and then a few shakes of cayenne, which they wouldn't add in Ireland, even though they should. And what we'll do is stir that in, and we'll wait for our beer to almost but not quite disappear. And one visual clue you've gone far enough is if you drag your spatula across the bottom of the pot, if that surface stays visible for a couple seconds, then we've probably gone far enough, which means we can add the most important ingredient, according to me, and that would be a whole bunch of halved Yukon Gold potatoes. And I guess you don't have to add as many as I do, but basically a stew for me is just an excuse to eat potatoes, so I will be adding a lot. And then we'll also at this point go ahead and add our chicken broth, which I've transferred into a bowl so it looks like it's homemade. And we'll go ahead and dump that in, and we'll wait for this to come back to a simmer. Oh, and I usually tell you to use whatever varieties of things you want. But in this case, because this is going to cook so long, I really think you should go with the Yukon Gold. Okay, they're not as waxy as red potatoes, so I love how they absorb the broth. But these will also actually hold their shape, unlike a russet potato, which will eventually fall apart. And that's it. Once our potatoes are in, and our broth is just about back to the simmer, we'll go ahead and place our sausages on the top, which I was thinking I could do in some kind of spiral pattern, so I could maybe hypnotize my guests later. But they weren't really fitting together like I wanted, so I did what any great chef would do. I gave up, and I just fit them in however I could. And that's it. We'll go ahead and cover this tightly, and then we'll transfer that into the center of a 300-degree oven for, believe it or not, 2.5 hours, at which point, no, it's not done. But it is ready to uncover and cook for another hour. And during this last 60 minutes, because it's uncovered, Those liquids are going to reduce, and those sausage will take on some gorgeous color. And if everything goes according to plan, an hour later it should look like this. Oh yeah, that is a nice looking Dublin coddle. The modern brown version. All right, like I said, the original version was a white stew, and it was just slowly simmered on the stove, which, by the way, is where the word coddle comes from. And then before we serve this, we might want to skim some of the fat off the top. And yes, this is sort of ironic, since back when this recipe was first developed, people spent a good portion of their day trying not to starve to death. And back then, if you were throwing away all these calories, people would have thought you were daft. So I guess that's going to be up to you. I mean, you are, after all, the supermodel of whether to skim your Dublin coddle. And in hindsight, that was a bad rhyme, since you know who won't be able to eat this? Supermodels. And that's it. I decided to finish up with some freshly sliced green onions. Sorry, spring onions. Just to freshen things up a little bit. And then I grabbed a pair of scissors so I could cut one of these sausage in half, which is a nice way to do it in the pot without dirtying a cutting board. And despite the insanely long cooking time, our sausage and potatoes have held together beautifully. But at the same time, they are so soft and so tender, and they just absolutely melt in your mouth, that unless you taste this yourself, you are really not going to understand how truly magical this is. And thanks to that last hour we did uncovered, all those amazingly flavorful cooking liquids have been reduced, which produces one of the tastiest stews you will ever enjoy in your life. So yes, this does take more than a few hours, but I don't think there's any way you're going to recreate this taste and texture without that long, slow cook. So that really was tremendous, and I went ahead and served some up in a bowl with plenty of that amazing broth, and of course a few more spring onions on top for the pictures. And yes, I should have had a nice big slice of Irish soda bread next to this, which is definitely how you should serve this if you're doing it for St. Paddy's Day, or any day for that matter. And we do have a great recipe for that, so check it out. And besides the long, slow cooking process and all the other stuff we've already mentioned, one of the keys is that stout beer we added. Since, as usual, a little bit of bitterness in the background really does elevate all the other flavors. Plus, we also get those beautiful toasty, malty notes. So if you were tempted to skip the beer, don't. But anyway, that's it. My take on Dublin coddle. This is without a doubt one of Ireland's greatest dishes, and like I said in the intro, my new favorite stew. Oh, and as legend has it, this would be made by one spouse early in the evening, and then left to simmer on low while the other spouse was at the pub. And then eventually, when the spouse would come home like 4 or 5 hours later, it would be ready to enjoy. So besides being very delicious, this was a very, very practical recipe, and I think very, very romantic. But anyway, whether you're going to eat this together with your spouse or hear how good it was the next day, I really do hope you give this a try soon. So please follow the links below for the ingredient amounts, a printable written recipe, and much more info as usual. And as always, enjoy.